I'm just going to stick this up here. Elvina Mokano, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you in the name of Yeshua. I ask that you give all of us a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in your word. Father, I ask that you stir up the gifts, reveal the gifts that are within each and every one of us, Father, so that they can be used for your kingdom and your glory. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. So here we have, again, Paul addressing one of the congregations. These congregants had come out of a very much pagan lifestyle, okay? And so he's exhorting them about the spiritual gifts. Why? Because they were being misused. So he had to bring correction to them because he brings it out right here. Why? He says, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant about the things of the Spirit. We cannot be ignorant about the things of the Spirit. Just as they needed the gifts of the Spirit back then, we need it even more so, I think, today. You know that when you were pagans, no matter how you felt, you were being led, being led astray to idols, which can't speak at all. Again, part, you know, pagan worship, they always had their idols. Demonic spirits always need an object to work through. So Paul was, you know, letting him know that, you know, that idol was nothing, but it was the demonic forces that worked through it. You know, this one I share too. It's important if we have any objects in our home that are not, you know, that are idols or contrary, we need to get rid of it. Because demons need an object to work through. Okay, so he's telling them, he says, which can't speak at all. You know, they had no power. The power, the deception was through the spirits that were speaking through them. Therefore, I want you to make it clear to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of Yahweh ever says Yeshua is cursed, and no one can say Yeshua is Lord except by the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so again, he had to tell them, you need to discern what's the true spirit of God, because there was wrong spirits operating here. Okay, we know that, you know, the enemy is a counterfeiter. So what does he counterfeit the gifts of the Spirit with? Fortune telling, horoscopes, speaking to the dead, levitation, magic, those are all counterfeits. Okay, satanic counterfeits. So Paul is sending them straight and saying, here, I'm going to teach you what the true gifts and spirit of God is. So anybody who comes in and is cursing God or cursing Yeshua, that is not the spirit. Obviously, it's not the spirit of God. Okay? So I mean, it seems that there was some false gifts operating in here. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, I don't want you to be ignorant of the things of the spirit. Okay? He's bringing correction. So we need to, again, I'm going to probably just focus on a couple of them today, and that's the word of wisdom, faith, and prophecy. But we see the gifts are classified in 1 Corinthians 12. There's three gifts of revelation, which means they reveal something, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then there's the power gifts, which is faith, miracles, healing. And they're the gifts of utterance, which is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Okay, these gifts were all given for the edification of the body of Messiah. And it's always as the Spirit wills. Okay, it's not something you cannot manipulate the Spirit of Yahweh. Okay. Amen. So the three gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom is, like, let's say the lead gift. It's considered the greatest of its class. Why? Because wisdom and knowledge really work together. But you need wisdom and knowledge and able to discern the spirits as well. Okay, we see that. We see go to 2 Chronicles 1:10 to 12, and we see that how Solomon realized that in order to lead, he needed that gift of wisdom. And those of us as leaders, we need that gift of wisdom. We need, you know, we need that wisdom on our jobs. We need wisdom when we're with raising our kids. We need to be, you know, especially in a congregation, we need to be surrounded by people that have wisdom. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. And also we see that these gifts did operate in the Tanakh, but they only operated on certain people. The Spirit came upon them, and they operated in these gifts. But now as believers in Messiah, the Spirit is within us, and as believers, we can operate in these gifts too, as the Spirit wills and puts it, you know, on our hearts and reveals it to us. Is that my First Chronicles? Second Chronicles, I'm sorry, Second Chronicles. Chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Let's begin with verse 9. Now, O Yahweh Elohim, thy promise to my father David is fulfilled, for thou hast made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people, for who can rule this great people of thine? And Yahweh said to Solomon, because you had this in your mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you asked for long life, but you have asked yourself for wisdom and knowledge that you may rule over my people, over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you. So Solomon went from the high place, which is at Gibeon, from the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. Hallelujah. As leaders, we need that gift of wisdom. You know, we need the wisdom. We need the wisdom. And Solomon realized, he was, you know, smart enough to realize that he needed the wisdom of God. You know, that riches weren't going to help him lead, that all the glory and wealth in the world were not going to help him lead. He needed God's wisdom. He started out right. Okay. Hallelujah. But he got off track there for a while. Of the second set of gifts, where you have faith, miracles, and healing, the greatest in this class is faith. Okay, let's go to Matthew 17:17. And I'm going to go over more details over each of these, but I just want to go over the outline first. Let's go up to verse 14. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his feet before and his knees before him, and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your Talmudim, and they could not cure him. And Yeshua answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Yeshua rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the Talmudim came to Yeshua privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And then verse 21, But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, it takes faith to see miracles and healing. Okay, faith in Yahweh's power. In our own, we can't heal anybody. It's Yahweh who is the healer. And faith comes what? By hearing, and hearing by the word, and believing what the word says. Okay? The third set of gifts are the utterance gifts. Prophecy is the greatest in this class. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Followed by tongues and interpretations of tongues. 14:5. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so the congregation may receive edifying. Again, we're going to go into more detail on this, and then go to 1 Corinthians 12:21. Twelve twenty-one, is that what I wanted? No, that's not. I think it's 1 and 2. So it happens when I type too fast. Okay, verse 10. And to another the effect of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So again, and then Paul goes on to say too, we're to desire, you know, the best gifts. Okay, now just in my own life, we're all on a journey. Okay, when I first got saved, you know, I only knew one thing. I knew the Baptists believed the Bible. You know, so I ended up in a Baptist church. You know, that was like the first church I was in was a Baptist church because I knew they believed the Bible, okay? But, you know, the Baptists don't believe in the gifts. And the Spirit, as I was reading the Word, I was like, you know, there's something more here. You know, the Word says this. Again, if the Word says it, you can believe it, okay? And, you know, their belief is all that was done away with. You know, I'm sorry, but don't we still need the power of the Spirit today? Yes, we do. Okay, so I knew that there was more. So he led me to a Pentecostal church. Okay, because they, you know, he brought people across my life. He says, okay, well, you know, they sound like they know about the Spirit. So when I told the Baptist preacher, well, he was like, whoa, you know, I was going to hell. You know, what, where are you going? And I was like, you know what? I'm sorry, but I know there's more in the Word. I want all that God has for me. So in the Pentecostal church, I got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, I got filled with the Spirit because that's what I wanted. You know, they said, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, come forward. I says, okay, I want all that God has for me. Did I speak in tongues right away? No, I didn't, because the reason why, I was being distracted by everybody talking to me at one time, you know. But the power of God, I felt the power of God come in me. I received that power and that anointing. When I was home alone and wasn't distracted by everybody telling me, do this, do that, and I was praying, I started praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in the heavenly language, okay? Because it was there. I received it. When they pray for me, I received it then and there. But the manifestation came later, okay? So, but there's all different, again, there's all different gifts, and it takes all the gifts together for the body to function properly, okay? You can't just have one gift, okay, and believe me, I've been in you know, different churches, and I know, again, people sometimes take things to the extreme. You know, I've been in the Pentecostal church where they run around the aisles and, you know, and stuff, and, you know, God bless them, you know, they feel like they're being led by the Spirit, but a lot of times it's what we do is to be based upon the Word of God, okay? The fact is that the gifts are for believers today. Even Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need these gifts. We cannot function as leaders without our total dependence on the gifts of the Spirit. And that his wisdom and knowledge and his revelation. And, you know, that, again, a word of knowledge sometimes will come where, give an example, that you don't know what to do in a situation. And you pray and the Spirit gives you that answer, gives you the wisdom of how to do it. Okay, and the knowledge how to do it. And there's different, you know, it could be praying for somebody who's sick, you know, and God will give you a word exactly what's wrong. You know, it could be, you know, somebody say, oh, this thing is bothering me. He can, you know, give you a word like, well, you know what? What it is you're in unforgiveness. Or what it is, and he'll reveal things. Why? Not to condemn a person, but to get them set free so they can receive their healing. It's always to bring people to healing. It's never to condemn them, okay? And there could also be, you know, again, the gifts of prophecy isn't so you can personally prophesy over people. Again, I've been, you know, been there too. People go, you got a word for me? You got a word for me? You know, it's like, if God has a word for you, he'll give it to you. But we're not to be seeking after words. We're to be walking in obedience by faith. And he'll choose. If you need a word of encouragement, he'll get it to you. You know, he'll get it to you. And you just, you know, hang on to it. But we're supposed to be going by the Word of God, because there's a real thin line between the word of prophecy and fortune telling. People cross that line because sometimes, and they start using, again, the gifts of the Spirit, and they get into the flesh, and they start using it wrongly. And we want to stay balanced in the Word. We don't want to go to the left. We want to go to the right. We want to stay in the narrow path, and we want to stay on what the Word of God says. You know, I thank God for the words people have given me, but they're few and far between. You know, and when somebody has a word for you, it confirms what you already know. Okay, it's not to tell you what to do. If somebody says, oh, you know what God told me? You're to go to Alaska, Marsha. Says, well, God never told me I was going to. I don't care. The Word says that you're going to go to Alaska. You know, it always confirms what you already know in your spirit. It's a confirmation to you of what God has been speaking to you. Okay? There's times where God has given us a word, and it may have been 10, 20 years ago before we see the manifestation. What are we to do? We keep on walking, keep on being obedient, and at His timing, He brings it about. We don't manipulate God. We don't manipulate the things of God or the Spirit of God. That's where people get in trouble. Okay? So here, let's look at, again, the word of wisdom. You know, another situation he had the other day, you know, the computer had gotten goofed up and stuff, and I'm trying to fix it, and it was like nothing was working, and I was getting really aggravated, you know, so I said, okay. I came by the next day by myself. I said, Father, I need you by the Ruach HaKodesh to show me how to fix this. I cannot figure it out. And all of a sudden, he just showed me exactly what I needed to do. Boom, 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 I was able to fix it. You know, because it's like, I said, show me, I need you to show me, I have to get this fixed. And he did, he showed me what to do. Again, that's knowing the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within you. He said, He is the helper. He is called alongside to help you. Yeshua said, He said, I'm sending Him so He can help you. He lives within us. There's nothing too stupid to ask Him, to put it, you know, mildly. There's times at work where I come into a situation, I don't know what to do. Like, Father, you have to show me what to do. You have to give me the wisdom. And He does, because He's there to work with us and help us and lead us. Same thing when you are ministering to somebody, and sometimes you don't know what to say. You know, Father, I need your wisdom right now. Put in my mouth the words you want me to say to this person. Okay, those are the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh is the Spirit of Yahweh. It is the Spirit of Yahweh. Okay, that word in Hebrew is chokmah. It can mean wisdom, experience, shrewdness. The word appears 141 times in the Tanakh, like chacham, C-H-A-K-A-M. Most occurrences of this word are found in Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs is filled with the wisdom of Yahweh. Vine's definition, chokmah is the knowledge and the ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. The consistency of making the right choice is an indication of maturity and development. The prerequisite for wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear or awe, respect, fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hallelujah. Again, every step we make, every decision we make for this ministry, we need the wisdom of God so we don't make the wrong decision. Okay, we need to know that the next step we take is the step that God wants us to take, and that it's not something in the flesh. Okay, because pride and ego can rise up really easy, you know, and you want to do something in the flesh, and the spirit is saying, don't you, you know, you feel, listen to the voice of your spirit. If you feel a check, what do you mean by check? There's just like, you just feel it in your gut that there's something wrong. That's the Spirit of Yahweh saying, stop and pray and get my direction. And when you have that peace, that shalom, that's the Spirit of God saying, okay, it's okay to move forward. When I ignored that voice that told me not to do something, I got myself in trouble. It was just like in my spirit, but I went ahead anyway, and I ended up regretting it. Okay, so I've learned to listen to the voice of the Spirit within me, because He will lead and guide us into all truth. Okay, Proverbs 1:20, wisdom is viewed as crying out for Talmudim who will do everything to pursue her. The person who seeks chokmah diligently will receive understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So they all work together. When you ask for wisdom, you will get knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2:6. He will benefit in his life by walking with Yahweh, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Proverbs 2:20. The advantage of wisdom are many, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tablet of their heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahweh and man. Wisdom is a powerful thing to have in our life and to walk in. Because look what it says, the advantage of wisdom, length of days, long life, shalom. You know, we're to seek Yahweh's wisdom. We need to surround ourselves as, you know, if you're a business owner, if you're in the ministry, whatever, you need to surround yourself with people of wisdom who fear God. We don't want yes men. We want people who fear God, that if we ask them their guidance, that they're going to tell us what the Word of God says. They're not just going to tickle our ears. Okay, so we need to surround ourselves. We need to surround ourselves with friends that walk in the wisdom of God too. Hallelujah. The prerequisite is a desire to follow and imitate Yahweh as he has revealed himself in Yeshua HaMashiach, without self-reliance, especially not in a spirit of pride. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretations, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of Yahweh Elohim is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fruits of Chokmah are many, and the book of Proverbs describes the character of the Hakam and Chokmah in the apostolic scriptures. Terms, the fruits of wisdom are same as the fruits of the Ruach HaKodesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. But the wisdom that is from above, James 3:17, is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Again, we need to be so dependent on the gifts of the Spirit. And the Spirit will never lead you contrary to what the Word of God says. Okay? Even, you know, he will protect you from false teachers.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If you are sensitive to them, I don't care how fancy schmancy that person is. I mean, you can have 500,000, have, you know, Armani suit on and just, you know, be able to speak, you know, with honey coming off his tongue. But the Spirit of God will let you know right then if this person is right or not. You know, and if he's telling you to run the other way, you better run the other way. You know, because so many people are led by the flesh and not the Spirit. So many people are impressed by what they see and what they hear instead of because the Spirit knows the hearts of every man. Okay, and it's a protection for us so we don't get deceived. Okay, and people are deceived because they are not listening to the Spirit of God that's been given to them. They're in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, it's going to be easy to be deceived. It's going to be easy to be impressed by fancy words and fancy people. You know, a lot of people, you can have, because people are so visual, you know, they think if somebody looks good, he must be good. You know, but if somebody, you know, looks like, you know, well, they're nothing special. He can't be anointed. You know, yes, the most anointed people of God are the plain people, the ones that may not have the perfect speech, but the anointing is what, you know, we want. Paul, do you think Paul was Paul Newman? No, he was, you know, they described him, people that knew him, he was like short, you know, he had a big nose, he was like nothing to write home about, but he was a man of power. But today, you think he'd be invited to a lot of churches to teach? Probably not. Right, yeah, right. So again, we need to walk in the Spirit, okay? And we need to ask for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in this life, in our congregation, especially in the life of a congregation. The gifts are given for the congregation. The gifts are given to edify and to build up, okay? When your gifts aren't for you, they're for somebody else. So you can minister to somebody else through the Spirit of God, and that he should get all the glory for it as well. It's when people, again, pride comes in, and people a lot of times will start out right, and God will use them sometimes in healing ministries, and they'll start out humble, and before you know it, they get all puffed up thinking they're the ones doing the healing. Mm-hmm. Oh, aren't I great? Look at all the people coming to me. And you know what? It ends up falling, because God is not going to share his glory with any man, and that's something he told me a long time ago. He says, I will not share my glory with any man. The minute we start taking the glory, that's our exit God's going to kick us out. Especially in the days that we live in, we need to, you know, be careful to give him the glory and to walk in the Spirit. And God is doing that. I mean, he's, you know, different ministries. He is, you know, if they're bringing a reproach on his name, he will take them down. Okay, how many, again, people start out good, but they end up wrong? Why? Because they fail to surround themselves with wise counsel, and they fail to submit themselves to other people in authority and hear the voice of God. Because money became, you know, their God. And the Tanakh Hakam was learning and applying wisdom to every situation in life. So where do we get wisdom from? From studying the Word and applying the Word. And the degree in which he succeeded was a barometer of his progress on the road of wisdom. A person that was considered wise was considered one who knew the Torah, knew the Word of God. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures here. Let's go to Exodus 28:3. And see how this gift operated in people's lives. I was so excited the other day when, you know, the Spirit showed me how to fix it. I was like, thank you, Father. You know, I was ready to call the geek squad, you know, because I couldn't get it to work. Hallelujah. Here's God giving Aaron the instructions for the garments of the priest. Verse 3 says, "And you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest to me." So Yahweh is the one who gave the craftsmen the skill and the spirit of wisdom to make the garments. His spirit came upon them to give them that wisdom to make the garments. Go to Exodus 31:36. I'm sorry, Exodus 3-6. 31:3-6. Let's begin in verse 1. "Now Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the spirit of Yahweh in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship.'" So you hear here, you see the spirit of Yahweh coming upon Bezalel. He chose Bezalel and gave him all the wisdom and understanding and knowledge he needed to craft the things of the tabernacle. Again, it came from him. "Why? To make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze, and the cutting of stones for settings and the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship." So even the gifts that we have are from Yahweh. You know, Patricia, your gift of music, that's from Yahweh. He gave you that gift so you could worship him. I mean, it's just amazing how his spirit came upon this man, you know, and he gave him the wisdom and understanding to know exactly how to do it so that it came out exactly the way God wanted it to be. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus, go to 35:30. The same thing. If he has called you to do a specific job, he will give you the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of how to do it. Okay, again, the example of this conference. Our first conference, we never did a huge conference. We had like one or two speakers. And then he put it on our heart to do this. Well, I didn't have a clue. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Yahweh, gave me the spirit of wisdom and understanding and direction and showed me every single step of the way how to do it. I didn't go to school for how to put on a conference, you know. It was just like what do I do next? What do I do next? It was the Spirit of Yahweh. Total dependence on him. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. If he has called you to do something, he will give you the gifts you need to accomplish it, because he's the one who's called you. Hallelujah. Did I read 35:30? No, okay. Then Moshe said to the sons of Israel, "See, Yahweh has called his name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the spirit of Yahweh, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold and silver and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and the carving of wood, as to perform in every inventive work. He has also put in his heart to teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Ashimach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of the engraver and a designer, and of an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen, and of a weaver, as performers of every work and makers of designs." Again, remember, these were slaves coming out of Egypt. They didn't go to, you know, the Egyptian design school to know how to do this stuff. Yahweh is the one who gave them the wisdom and understanding and knowledge and how to do it. The menorah was made out of one solid piece of gold. You know, even Israel, the menorah they have there, it's in two parts. The one that God gave them, Bezalel, the wisdom, it was made of a solid gold. It was to be one piece, solid. And if you see the garments, and it were made exactly the way the Spirit of God led them to do it, exactly according to the pattern and the design He called them to do it. Go to Exodus. Yep. Go to Exodus 36, 1 and 2. "And now Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that Yahweh has commanded." So again, every skillful person in whom God put the spirit of the understanding on how to perform all the work. He's the one who gave them the skill and the understanding on how to do that. Hallelujah. Proverbs 2:6. "For Yahweh gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Isaiah 28. Verses 24 to 26. No, that's not what I want. I want Isaiah 28. Yeah, that's what I wanted. I was in 29. Okay. "Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground?" 28, verses 24 to 26. "Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat and rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs and teaches him properly." Hallelujah. So even the Spirit of Yahweh, seeing the Spirit of Yahweh is the one who showed the farmer exactly how to plow, how to sow, how to reap. It's by the Spirit of Yahweh. Go to Deuteronomy 34:9. Deuteronomy 34:9. Again, these, you have the notes. Let me go forward here. Yeah. "Now Yehoshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. For Moshe had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as Yahweh had commanded Moshe." So Moshe laid hands on him to receive that anointing of leadership. And it was when he was laid hands on, he was filled with the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is needed for leadership. Okay, Moses passed on his anointing to Joshua in front of the whole congregation, so the congregation knew that Joshua was the one that God chose to lead. You know, if he would have done it in private, you know what would have happened? Well, who said Joshua's going to lead? You know, it's like, I think I should lead, you know. But God did it in the face of all Israel to show that Joshua was the one anointed to go. But Joshua, still, as great of a warrior as Joshua was, he needed to be filled with the spirit of wisdom, so God could lead him and guide him exactly to where he was to go and what he was to do and how he was to do it. Yep. Isaiah 11:2. Let's begin with one. Then the shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the spirit of Yahweh will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. Hallelujah. So again, we see that spirit of wisdom is wisdom. Yeshua walked in the fullness of the spirit, in the fullness of the gifts. Why? Because he was Yahweh in the flesh. Okay? He still walked as a man, but he was Yahweh without sin dwelling within him. Go to First Corinthians. We did go to Ephesians 1:17. Let's begin with 16. 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in Messiah Yeshua, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that Yahweh of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his strength, of his might. So here's Paul's prayer and this is a great prayer to pray for one another, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him. We need the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation, okay? Again, we see, let's go to James 1:17. I don't know about you, but I am totally dependent on the Spirit of God because I know my flesh gets me in trouble every time. Hallelujah. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shifting shadow. Every good and perfect thing, his gifts are good and perfect, and they come from him. They are not something to fear. And also says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position. So again, God's saying, if you need wisdom, come to me and I'm going to give you wisdom. Don't doubt. Okay? Because if you doubt, it's like you're cutting off your answers to your prayer. It's like, oh, Father, thank you for wisdom. Oh, he's not going to give me wisdom. I don't know. I'm never going to figure this out. And being tossed to and fro. When we ask God, we have to stand on his word and not be tossed to and so. Yes, I believe. No, I don't. Yes, I believe. No, I don't. Yes, no, maybe so. You know? Hallelujah. We need to stand in faith believing. And that's the kind of person you want to stand in faith for. If you ask somebody for prayer, do you want somebody who's a yes, no, maybe so person? Or do you want somebody who knows how to stand on the word and believe God? And is not going to be tossed to and fro and is going to stand no matter what. Okay? Again, we see in 1 Kings 10:24 that all the earth sought to have an audience with Shlomo, or Solomon, in order to hear his wisdom, which Yahweh had put in his heart. Yahweh was the one who gave him wisdom. 1 Kings 4:29, Yahweh gave Shlomo exceptional wisdom and understanding, as well as a heart as vast as the sandy beach by the sea. Wow. Hallelujah. We need to walk in that gift of wisdom. And you know, the gifts, as you operate in the gifts, he'll give you the gift you need when you need it. Okay? It's as the Spirit wills. Okay? I lean heavily on the word, on wisdom and his wisdom. You know what? Because praise God for his wisdom. Praise God that he will never lead you wrong. Faith. Greek word for faith is pistis, but the Hebrew word is emunah. Okay? And there's a difference in Hebraic understanding. Emunah means trust. Trust in his word. Trust that if God says it, he's going to do it. It's a firm, solid, again, it's not a one that goes tossed back and forth. Our faith is based on the word. If you really know God and you really know the word, it's easy to be a person of faith because you know the character of God. Okay? If you don't know the character of God, then it's going to be hard for you to walk in faith and trust because you don't believe that what he says he means. Okay? God says that he watches over his word to perform it. It means assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. Our faith is in the fidelity and the truthfulness of God, that he is true. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, and shall he not do it? Again, that word emunah is faith. It's just like you tell, in a Hebraic mindset, people, they could say, well, you can tell me how much faith you have, but I'll know how much faith you have by the actions. That's what James says, show me your faith by your works. Same thing, we could sit in our house, again, we use this ministry as an example, and, I've written down, I had the vision written down on paper, this is what God's called us to do, and we're praying, we're believing, and God says, go do it. And it was like, well, it looked good on paper, but now we have to actually put feet to our faith. And I was like, and it's like, wait a minute, if God's called us, then we're going to take that step of faith. Nothing of this would have manifested. There would have been no conference. There would have been no congregation. There would have been no nothing until we took...
praying for someone to lead the congregation.
Yeah, we were praying for somebody else to do it.
and he said, you're it. Yeah. And it's like, what? And he confirmed that with three other people, three other
witnesses.
So it wasn't something that we just...
Well, actually, it was a bishop, a rabbi, and a pastor.
Right. So,
But it was after we already made the decision to step out. Again, you can sit at home and be a mighty person of faith on paper, but the proof of the pudding is, okay, now go do what I told you to do. Every great man and woman of God in the Word of God were great men and women of God because they did what God told them to do. Before they even saw the manifestation, they just, it's Abraham.
We're still working on what he told us to do.
Right, hallelujah. So I just want to, again, I'm teaching this to encourage you, because God has a call in every single one of our lives, okay? But that call isn't going to manifest until you get up and you depend on his wisdom and you walk it out in faith and believe that he, God has this call you want me to do, then I'm holding your hand and you're going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And why? So he gets the glory. Wow. Believe me, none of the stuff that manifests is because I'm so smart. Believe me, that's not the truth. People say, oh, you're so smart. I go, no, it's because God gives me wisdom. It's like I know how smart I am. And I know that it's God showing me what to do, that things have manifested. And I'm not being falsely humble. I know it's the Spirit of God that has brought us where we are. and to more glory for him, So if he can use me, he can use anybody. Hallelujah. And so I tell people when they, it's like if God can use a donkey, he can use me. Hallelujah. Those are the kind of people God wants to use. Those that don't think so much of themselves, but they have a heart for God and they just want to do what God's called them to do. Hallelujah. So he gets the glory. And again, faith is an action word. It is not a passive word. It's an action word. Go to let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And here we see, too, what Paul's saying. He says, the gifts have to work in a spirit of love. Okay? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own and is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are the gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Okay, the perfect has not come yet, so we still need these gifts. Okay, obviously, I mean, we know that the perfect has not come yet. The perfect will come when Yeshua returns and we have been redeemed and we are walking totally, you know, in the spirit in our redeemed bodies. But now we need the gifts. But Paul's saying, he goes, I don't care how gifted you are. If you're not walking in love, it's nothing. Okay? If you're not ministering the gifts in a spirit of love, it's nothing. And I tell you, that's one thing I learned from this one pastor is that walking in love is the most important thing. You know, that love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. And I will believe the best of every person until they show me different. And then my mercy motive kicks in. You know, why? Because I know God's been merciful to me, you know, so I have, but again, it's like, we believe the best of one another, you know. What's the opposite of love? The opposite of love is believing the worst of every person, okay? Believing what somebody else says about another person,
right.
You know, without giving, you know, lashon hara, evil speaking. Again, all the gifts, you know, you can be operating in the gifts, but you don't have love, you're destroying your witness.
That's right.
Because
right.
Love is the spirit of Yeshua.
That's right.
Okay, so we need to seek love. As we seek love, he can trust us with the gifts to minister life to people.
Multiply them.
Amen. Again, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, we go back and forth because, you know, he is more of a prophet mode of spirit, you know. So he'll say, well, I don't know, you know, about this person. I said, you know what, I'm believing the best of them because, you know, God is not going to bring us perfect people. God is bringing people here so we can minister to them and help them. And if you're expecting to minister to perfect people, then you're not called into the ministry. Because you know what, there's nobody out there that's perfect. You know, and it's like, again, why am I having such a mercy motive? Because God has shown so much mercy to me. You know, when I was first saved, you know, people took me.
But there's been times when I've had to show things.
Yes, there was times when you were right. You were right. Yes, I agree.
When,
you know, but
you
I
showed me, though, first.
Right, right. As we balance each other out, right, right. We balance each other out. Hallelujah. And when he's right, I'll admit him. I says, well, you know, you're right, but, you know, I still have that mercy motive. Even when people are mean to me, I still have that mercy motive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 11, 22 and 23. How many times did you read, you know, when Yeshua, people would come to him, and all of a sudden he said he would have compassion upon them and mercy upon them? You know, how many times that, you know, somebody may have come to you, and in the natural, it's like you don't like them. You know what I mean? There's just something about that mercy. All of a sudden, the compassion of Yeshua comes over you for this person. You know, it surpasses our prejudices. It overrides them. And all of a sudden, the compassion of Yeshua gives a compassion to want to reach out to this person. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Again, I know this is the Word of Faith Movement's mantra, but it's the truth. It's the Word of God, okay? Even though if it's been used in the wrong way, it's still the truth. And Yeshua answered, says, have faith in Yahweh. This is faith. It's having faith in Yahweh. That when we lay hands on the sick, it's the spirit of Yahweh working through it. It's the spirit of Yahweh that brings the healing. Not us. We can't heal anybody. We are just vessels used by Him to pray for people. We couldn't, you know, we have no authority over Satan except through the name of Yeshua. Yeah. It's the name of Yeshua that has authority over him. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, they shall be granted to you. And people stop right there. They go, okay, that sounds good. They don't read the next verse. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. Unforgiveness will block the gifts operating in our life. Unforgiveness will block our faith. And believe me, we'll have plenty of opportunities to be unforgiving, you know, sometimes to people. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. That's a serious thing. Unforgiveness will block our healing. Unforgiveness will block our deliverance. Unforgiveness will stagnate the gifts of God in our life.
Unforgiveness will cause disease in the body.
Right. And if Yahweh has forgiven, who are we not to forgive when we've been forgiven of so much? You know, we don't have that luxury of unforgiveness. You know, a beautiful story is, did you ever see the movie Amish Grace? Mm-hmm. It was like, wow. I was just like, you know, to see them, the forgiveness and love they showed to this man's family after, even for the man who killed, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 of their kids, it was like, wow, Father. What an example. What a testimony. I mean, it was a testimony to unbelievers because they were like, wow. You know, they really, amen, it's a true story. That's right. And even I said, wow, Father, you know, could, you know, again, we have no choice, you know, but it was just, I recommend it if you haven't seen it to see them. It was just, it's a great example of walking in forgiveness. I mean, can you imagine the pain in those parents' heart? I mean, we're all parents, you know, to have somebody take away your child's life and then to go there in forgiveness, especially the wife was an innocent bystander, but you know what? Even innocent bystanders receive the hatred of people just because.
Wasn't the teacher killed?
No, it was just the kids. It was just the children. But again, we don't have that luxury of unforgiveness. We have to guard our hearts and, you know, get rid of that unforgiveness, because it'll hinder our prayers. It'll hinder the power of the Spirit in our life. It'll hinder. It'll bring sickness and disease in our life. It'll cut our life short.
Yes.
You know, I don't care how ugly somebody's been to you. Start praying for them.
Yes.
Start praying, interceding for them. You know, and God will turn it around. God will, you know, and I know it's not easy. It's probably one of the hardest things that we have to do in the flesh. But you know what? That's when the Spirit of God takes over and say, Father, you know what? I'm having a hard time forgiving these people. Help me to forgive them. Help me to walk in your forgiveness. Hallelujah. Go to, and I'm going to, I think maybe we'll get through. I don't know if we'll get through to prophecy. We'll continue that. I'm in no rush to get through these because I think we really need to understand the gifts of the Spirit and to be willing. There's a testimony I had sent some of you, and I think there's copies out there about the gifts of the Spirit and how this rabbi went to a Pentecostal church, and all of a sudden this woman started speaking in tongues. Well, the rabbi was the only one who knew what she was saying because she was speaking in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And he went up to her. He goes, how do you know Hebrew? She goes, I don't know Hebrew. He goes, you are speaking Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You know, and why she yielded herself to the Spirit of God and said, okay, Father, speak through me. She didn't have a clue that there was going to be a Jewish rabbi there. And that language at that time, that gift at that time, was for her to speak forth in Hebrew. And he heard the truth about Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And he fled. I mean, he was like freaked out. I got to get out of this place. But you know what? He ended up getting born again, Spirit-filled. He is now a rabbi of a Spirit-filled Messianic congregation. Why? Because a believer yielded themselves to the gift of God and let that gift operate in them to reach that rabbi. We have to yield ourselves.
She didn't know she was doing it at the time.
Right, she didn't know she was speaking. Right. Right, and we need to be obedient and yield ourselves, you know, to the Spirit. Again, you have the Spirit of God. He's not, you know, you have nothing to fear if you, you know, are you or his child, and he's filled with his spirit. You know, it's the flesh that doesn't want to do it. It's like, well, you know, like, we're all of a sudden, you know, what are people going to say? But you know what? We need to get past it. Yeah, we need to flow. Look, I wonder if she hadn't have been obedient to him. You know, but because she was obedient to use that gift, that rabbi heard the truth and got saved and now is a messianic pastor in a spirit-filled church. I mean, that's a powerful testimony of walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Luke 17:5-6. We'll end with this and I'll continue next time because, again, I think it's real important that we understand. And faith, again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Your faith is built up by studying the Word, by speaking the Word. I think it's important to pray the Word and say what the Word says because when you are praying the Word, you are praying the perfect will of God. If you look at the prayer siddurs, most of the prayer siddurs are scriptures from the Psalms that are being prayed. Because it's important for us because we're standing on the Word of His truth, and we need to hide that Word in our heart. The more Word you hide in your heart, as you're praying, that Word's going to be coming out of your heart, and you're going to be praying what the Word says over a situation. And when we don't know how to pray, that's when the Spirit takes over, and we start praying in our heavenly language. Sometimes you just may be groaning in the Spirit. Okay, why? Because you're yielding yourself. You are intercepting. It could be a life and death situation that you are praying for somebody. I mean, our prayers are powerful. It's so important not to quench the Spirit. Okay? Allow Him to use you. And He will, you know, we need to be willing to yield ourselves to Him. Luke 17:5-6. I just want to sit down a little bit. No one didn't look right. Okay, 7:6. And the apostles said to Yeshua, increase our faith. And Yeshua said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be implanted in the sea and would obey you. But which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk and afterward you will eat and drink? He does not think the slave because he did the things which are commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. So here is this talking, you know, about the importance of obedience. Let's go back to 17:1 so we can get the whole thing in context. And he said to his Talmudim, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come, but woe to him through whom they come. It is better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. So again, you know, that's where the apostle says, increase our faith. Because you know, it takes a lot of faith for somebody to keep on sinning and repenting and coming to you. But he says, you know what? We are, again, he's showing that it doesn't matter. You are to forgive. You know, and I had that situation where, you know, this one person, and there was, you know, two people that they were kind of at odds with one another, and I told, you know, the one brother says, the only way this situation is going to be stopped is just you humble yourself and go to him and, you know, and just, you know, ask forgiveness. And he did, but this other person wouldn't, you know, forgive him. And it's like, you know what? We don't have that luxury. Yeshua says 70 times 7. If that person, you know what, okay, you know, you're wrong, okay, let's, it's under the blood of Yeshua, let's go forward together as brothers. You know, but our flesh likes to perpetrate misunderstandings and stuff, and I won't go there. You know what?
When the flesh gets in the way, boy, you're in trouble.
If somebody comes to you, and, you know, Yeshua says, I don't care if he says, if your brother sins, rebuke him, okay, we're to rebuke him and correct him. And if he repents, you're to forgive him. You're not to use it as something over his head.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. I don't think any of us have had somebody seven times in one day come, you know, sin against us.
What does it say?
Okay, but Yeshua is saying it's the heart of forgiveness. Why? Because if we don't forgive, we are going to put a big roadblock in what God has called us to do. It's not worth it. Pride is not worth it. We need to humble ourselves before God so that he can use us in a mighty way. You know, life is too short. Our time to serve God is too short. And we need to go forward in him. And we need to walk. And there is that power. What did Yeshua say when he was crucified on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If anybody, he could have started speaking curses down. He could have called the angels, you know, come down, zap them all now. But he didn't. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A lot of times people are just blinded by the enemy. The word says that our fight isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and rulers and, you know, and of darkness in high places. Go to Ephesians 6. We need to just start taking authority over the spirits that are working through these people and pray for them to get set free. Ephesians 6. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay? If somebody's coming against you, they're being motivated by a demonic spirit. And we need to pray for them that they repent and take authority over that spirit. Okay? And when you realize that, it's a lot easier not to get offended with people, you know? When you realize, you know, Father, I need to pray for this person.
If they don't repent and they don't forgive, you know what?
That's between them and God.
Right.
You know? I'm not God.
What are they being motivated by? And that's when you have to feel sorry for them.
Right.
Because, especially if it's a brother or a sister, you know what? You have to just look at them and say, you know what? You haven't asked for it, but you know what? I forgive you anyway.
Right. You know, it's kind of the word, we don't rejoice in other
anymore,
people's
right.
failures.
Right.
You know, we need to pray, because I thank God for, you know, people have forgiven. I'm sure, you know, I've offended people. I've said the wrong things, and thank God that they forgave me. You know, sometimes it's just out of stupidity. Sometimes we speak before we think, you know. And once those words come flying out, it's like, you know what? There's no way to pull them back, you know. You just have to ask, you know, Father, you know, forgive me, brother. Forgive me, sister. I spoke out of turn. I said the wrong thing. You know, I didn't mean to hurt you. If I did, I repent of it. Please forgive me. You'll see so many relationships healed like that. Okay, but the reason why they aren't healed is because unforgiveness and pride and arrogance, and we want to be right. You know, again, we don't want to hinder the spirit, the work of the spirit in our lives. Ephesians 2:8. Did I read Ephesians 2:8?
Second Corinthians 4:14.
I want Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of Yahweh. Even your faith to receive salvation is a gift of Yahweh.
That's true.
The ability to believe his word is a gift of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And last, Hebrews chapter 11. One of these days I'm going to do just a study on all the people in this chapter. Let's start with Hebrews 11:1, and then we'll skip down. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of Yahweh, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And then again it goes on talking about the different people of faith. Verse 6, and without faith or trust it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those who seek him. I mean, that's a very key verse. 1 and 6 are a very key verse. Verse 33, and again, it goes talking about all these people of faith who, you know, obeyed God even though they didn't see maybe the end result in their lifetime. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. Don't you think it took a total trust and faith of God to walk into a den of lions? Don't you think it took a total faith and trust of God to get thrown into a fiery furnace? Quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Men whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because Yahweh had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they could not be made perfect. Hallelujah. That gift of faith is, why is it so important? Because it takes faith to see miracles, to believe God for miracles. It takes faith to believe God for people to be healed. Okay, without faith, you aren't going to see people healed. You aren't going to see miracles. It's faith in him that he is the one doing, that he is the one doing the healing. He is the one doing the miracles. He uses us by his spirit when we're praying for somebody. And maybe, you know, there isn't a healing. You'll get that word of wisdom and knowledge, and God will reveal to you, show that person, this is what's going on. This is what you need to repent of. This is the blockage or whatever. Why? Because God cares about every single person. You know, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. You know, even unsaved people, we need the Spirit of the wisdom of God and how to minister to them, so that they will know that it is the Spirit of God, the power of God, that put the words in your mouth to speak to them, is a witness to them of God's power. Believe me, Satan is out there with his false power, you know, and performing false signs and wonders. It says that when the anti-Messiah comes, that there's going to be that, he's going to be given the power to do false signs and wonders. You know, we need to walk in the truth. We need to walk in the wisdom of his word. We need to, if we want to walk, and I'll continue this next week, in the gifts. Again, the gifts are to edify and build up and to be a blessing. But the key to walking in the gifts is to walking in love and believe and be in humility. And it's as the Spirit wills. We can't turn it on and off like a machine. You know, like, well, you know, I'm going to walk in the, you know, I choose to walk and do this, and no, it's as the Spirit wills, as the Spirit is leading you. Hallelujah. Alvina McKenna, our Father, our King. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we just humble ourselves before you. Father, we ask you now in the name of Yeshua, if there's any unforgiveness in our heart, if there's any bitterness, Father, if there's been misjudging of others, Father, if we have aught against our brother or our sister, Father, we just release it to you now in the name of Yeshua. Father, we want to be free from every hindrance, Father, that would hinder us from going forward in you, Father, that would hinder us from operating in the gifts of the Spirit to minister to people's lives, Father, to see people healed and set free, Father. Father, help us to walk in humility, Father. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves, Father, even when the flesh so many times doesn't want to do it, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, that we are people that walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. I thank you, Father, that your gifts, Father, Ruach HaKodesh, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you to use us in the gifts as you will, Father, to edify one another, to build one another up, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, we pray that as we come together, Father, we will come, Father, with hearts ready, Father, to minister to others, Father, that we will enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise, Father, that, Father, that this will be a house of prayer for all people, Father. Father, that you would help us to be more like Yeshua, Father. Father, help us, Father. So many times, Father, our pride and our words come flying out of our mouth, Father. We ask you, Father, to break the power of every negative word that we've spoken that is contrary to your will for us now in the name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that we commit to speak your word. Father, we commit to walk in your Spirit. We commit to submit ourselves and to be a vessel for your glory and your honor, Father. In Yeshua's name, Father. And we pray, Father, that the conference that's coming up, Father, we just come against any spirit of strife or division in Yeshua's name. Father, we thank you for unity of the Spirit. We thank you for the spirit of love upon this place, Father, that you are uniting the body and Messiah together in the full truth of your word. Yes. We thank you for healings and deliverance. We thank you that every speaker is controlled by the Spirit of Yahweh, Father, and that they walk in love with one another. Father, I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do with this conference. Father, we pray for favor. We call forth those people in Chicago, and we thank you that that place is filled with at least 300 people in the name of Yeshua. We call them forth in Yeshua's name. We come against procrastination and doubt. Father, we ask you to loose the finances for those who want to come, Father. Put it in their hands so they can come in the name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you that for the opportunity that people will be able to come and hear the truth and worship and feel the presence of Yahweh in this place, Father. Father, we come against that Islamic conference in June in Rolling Meadows in the name of Yeshua. We come against that lying spirit in the name of Yeshua. Father, and that every word they're speaking has to fall to the ground in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you, Father, that you are raising up Chicago Restoration Conferences to counter, Father, these Islamic conferences that are going on in this city in the name of Yeshua, Father. Father, and we just come against those lies, Father, of the enemy in Yeshua's name, and pray that your people will come alive to the truth, Father, and that those Muslims, Father, who are truly seeking you, that you would open their eyes to the truth of your word, to the truth of Yeshua, and that they would repent, Father, and flee, Father, from the lie of Islam in Yeshua's name. I thank you and praise you, Father, that our words availeth much, our prayers availeth much. We take authority over those demonic spirits operating in that conference. We pray confusion, a spirit of confusion over them in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you that conference is going to be a failure in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. When I saw that brother in Israel, he had tagged me in a flyer about Islam is marching forward. It was just a big thing. They're going to take over. They're having a big conference in Rolling